We welcome you to worship today at College Park. We're so excited that you are here. A few announcements before we get started. Number one, we want to find out who is in worship. The way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle. We invite members and guests. Take this pew pad, write your name down, give us contact information, and send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it reaches the end, that last person, once you're done, send it back to where it got started. We do appreciate that. We do ask that first person, when it comes back to you, please tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. A couple of announcements. We are having children's time today, right down here, right after that first hymn. I want all the kids to come and join me for just a few moments. We're in the last week of our aerobic sessions. We will be offering future sessions as well, but this is the last of the six-week class, and then we will pretty quickly we'll be having more sessions. Also, a yoga class will be starting soon. Just want you to make note of those things that are coming up. Pursuing God's Love continues this week at 10 o'clock on Monday mornings. Also, book club is happening this month. The Sinner's Garden by William Searles. Is that right? Okay. So we want you to make note of that and those things that are listed there on the opportunities for the week and upcoming events. A couple of things I want to draw your attention to. Number one, our Hoops for Him basketball teams. We have four teams in the league. One of them is here this morning. That is one team that you're going to see. It's not multiple. It is one team. You'll see them in a minute. We have four teams. They are entering their tournament this Saturday. And we want you to know we're going to get that schedule out. It just was available last night. So we will make sure that gets emailed out and it's printed on Wednesday and the publications so that you can come and support those teams. Three of them will play this Saturday. One of them has a bye. And then it will go for the next several weeks till March the 1st, which is championship Saturday. We know that this is a huge part of what College Park does is support our basketball teams. And we look forward to a great tournament season. Our high schoolers are preparing to go to New York City. In the past, we have done a variety of fundraisers, including dinner and shows and yard sales and similar. This year, we're going to try something different, and it starts this Wednesday. It's called 144 Envelopes. The information is listed there in your bulletin, but I will just give you a little bit of idea how this works. We ask everybody to be praying for the team as we prepare, as we'll be going to work in soup kitchens and food pantries and with homeless there in New York and working with school children and an after-school program and several things like that. It takes a lot of money to go to New York. It's a significant financial investment. It's a significant spiritual investment, and so we need your prayers, we need your encouragement, we need your support. We also, for those who are able, we need your dollars. The way we're going to do that, to raise that money this year, is 144 envelopes. On the outside of Smith Hall, there's going to be a table, and there's going to be 144 envelopes. On each envelope will be a dollar figure. Starts from 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way up to $144. Inside each one of those envelopes will be a letter from one of the participants that will be going to New York, talking about the trip, thanking you for donating to the trip, supporting us financially and spiritually. It'll tell them about things they're excited about. It's a handcrafted letter by the teenagers that are going, and it will be in the envelope. We invite you to pick the donation you're able to give. If it says a dollar, we want you to give a dollar. If you're able to give $144, you pick the $144 envelope. Whatever you're able to give, we're thankful for. You open the envelope, take the letter home. That's your reminder to pray for us as we prepare. Then you can put a check in the envelope, or you can give at the giving kiosk. If we get rid of all 144 envelopes, we raise $10,400. That is, in 2 weeks, we can raise more money than we've ever raised at a single event before. And we feel like we can raise a significant amount of money in a way that is different and unique, and we hope that those who are able to do that can support us. And we appreciate the prayers and the encouragement. If you have questions about that, please let me know. It starts February 12th, and it'll go to 2.5 weeks after that. So it's a limited time for you to get in on that. So we appreciate. I know that's a long explanation, but I want to make sure that's clear. It's a hopefully an easy way for us to support that mission trip financially. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. And we are so excited that you're here. We appreciate the information you gave on the pew pad a moment ago. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are. Our ushers are going to come down. They're going to give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church and a little bit of the history or the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. Yesterday, we had a family birthday party in Wilmington. And when a three-year-old has a birthday party, it's exciting. You know what I'm talking about? When you have a three-year-old birthday party, I mean, that is the center of the world. And there was piñatas, and there was candy and cake. It was exciting. When was the last time you were excited about the life that you were given? Even on those challenging days, the days when we doubt, the very breath that we have is a gift that God has given us. We should treat this world and this life with an excitement, or to find the joy, because Jesus has overcome this world. Yes, we will have trials and we will have worries, but God's got us taken care of. So today, take heart, take joy, and remember we worship because he is risen. And because he is risen, we can live again. Let's prepare for worship. Pray with me. Father, as the choir has reminded us, we need to say out loud with our lives, with our words, with our attitudes and our actions, we declare your majesty, the glory of your name, for you have given us chance after chance after chance, forgiveness upon forgiveness. For all the times we have chosen our own way, for all the times we have failed. But in your glory, you give us new life. May we face this world, even in the great difficulties and challenges and questions, with great joy, because you have overcome. And because you have overcome, we worship you. So be in this place, we pray. Hear us as we sing. Hear us as we pray. Speak to us through your word and through your spoken word. And we will lift you up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
invite all the kids. Come on down. We got a bunch of them this morning. It's good to see everybody. All right. We will wait till everybody gets here. How's everybody today? Everybody good? Wait a minute. Everybody good?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Good job. Okay. Now that I know that you're awake, I have something under here. Does anybody know what I have under here?
A dog.
A dog. It's not a dog. It's not a rabbit. Carpet. Carpet. Yes. Some of you are getting close to middle school, okay? What else? What else do you think? Air's in there. Yeah. Anything else? Oxygen. Some of y'all need oxygen. All right. Okay. Flashlight. Now, what does a flashlight do? When it's dark, but so it shines a light, right? Does it do me any good if it's under the bowl?
No.
Why?
Because you can't see
anything. Exactly. So you have to get it out. You don't hide a flashlight or a light under a bowl because it's supposed to shine, right? It's supposed to show you where to go. But you know what? The same thing is true about me and you. Are we supposed to hide that we love Jesus at school? But don't we do that a lot? When people treat us badly, don't what do we try to do? We're going to get them back, right? Or we say things bad about them. But you know what? What does Jesus tell us to do? Forgive. It's hard. I know. Isn't it hard to forgive adults? It's hard for all of us to forgive. But we're not supposed to shine that we believe in Jesus. Under the bowl, we're supposed to shine it so the entire world can see. So this week, whether you're on the basketball court, whether you're at school, and somebody does something wrong to you, I want you to do what Jesus would do and love them and forgive them. Can you try that this week? You can try it. Just give me one time this week. Can you try that? All right. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much that Jesus was not embarrassed by us, that he came to live for us. And he showed the whole world how much he loves us by going to the cross, by being resurrected. Help us to take courage in Jesus' example and to not hide the fact that we love Jesus, but to show everybody by what we say and what we do and what we think. Help us to do that, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Good job. Go back to your seats.
Great lesson for us all. Before I lead us in the reading of our scripture today, I want to remind you that next Sunday is Senior Adult Sunday, and Keith McKinney will be with us to share a message with us, but we also have some of our senior adults who will be sharing from their hearts. It's going to be a good Sunday, and we look forward to seeing you, and our choir will be singing, and our grace notes will have the anthem, and we're just going to have a good time together, so I just want to put that little reminder out there. I'll be reading today from 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 12. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about our God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that's been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Let's pray together. Oh Lord, we just thank you for letting us have within us that wonderful treasure of your light, of your presence, of your guidance, of your hope. We thank you so much for that wonderful light that comes to us and shatters the darkness within and gives us hope for every day and purpose for life. Thank you so much for the transformation of our spirits that take place because of your powerful light. Thank you, Father, that your light enables us to see your face in the faces around us, to share that bond in Jesus Christ. And your light warms us to your presence within and warms us to each other. We have a great responsibility of sharing this wonderful treasure with other people. We pray that we will hear the call and respond to share with all that you bring into our lives and urge us to share our hope, our peace, the love that's within us that you've placed there. Oh Lord, help us because we often mess up and fall down. We are fragmented vessels. But just as you trusted your Son, our Lord, into the hands of young and inexperienced parents, so do you entrust your light to us, and you can use us. No matter who we are, you can use us for your glory. So, Father, do use us to reach out and be your voice and your smile, to be your hands and feet, to go and to tell the good news. Thank you as we just look to you today and ask that you continue to bless us as well as all those who would long to be here and cannot be here. Bless them also, Lord, all of our beloved friends and church family. Bless us and let us hear your voice. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guess why I'm thankful this morning. Yes, it's these precious kids behind me. It's my basketball team. Nerl, Jason, and I are coaching the College Park Baptist Church Junior Co-Ed 3rd, 4th, 5th, and 6th grade basketball team. And it is awesome. We are thankful for the opportunity. The last 3 or 4 years, this group of kids have had to join with Beck's Baptist Church because we didn't have enough players. This year, we've got 17 players. It's awesome. We are thankful for these precious children. We are thankful for their eagerness to be here at church. Whether it's Sunday school, RAs, GAs, or on the basketball court, we try to keep them from running in the halls. But they're excited to be here, and we're thankful for that. We practice on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. One of the main things we have to work on is focus. So we work real hard on focus and trying to communicate and making sure they're understanding. One particular Tuesday night, I got it. I was there. They were focused. I had eye contact. Everybody was doing great, and I got a question. And I was ready for a great basketball question. The question was, "Coach Charlie, did you get a haircut?" On Saturday mornings when they come into the gym for games, they usually report to us. We're trying to keep up with numbers and 17 kids. And one of our kids came in one day and said, "Coach, I'm on time today. My dad didn't get a shower." These kids are precious. They're precious, they're precious, they're precious. We can't help but laugh and love, put our arm around them, and care for them. We are thankful for the opportunity to work with these young kids. We're thankful for you today. Thankful for College Park Baptist Church having the vision to reach our community with a new basketball gym. We are thankful. I am thankful to be part of this family that has the faith to follow God's call. We're going to touch the lives of about 75 basketball players this year. And I want you to know that. I want to say thank you for reaching out and caring for our kids. Let's thank God together. Gracious Father, we thank you for our precious children. We pray that you give us the wisdom to help guide and direct them. We thank you for your unconditional love. We thank you for continuing to give to us when we just don't deserve it. We thank you for your shining light in a world of darkness. We thank you, Father, for your never-ending grace. But most of all, Father, we thank you for the most precious gift of all, the gift of Jesus. We pray that you'll accept our gifts today, that you'll use them to touch the world around us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Thank you.
To echo some of what Charlie said, we are very grateful for our children, thankful for our children and parents who miss showers to to get them places on time and bring them to church, and for our workers, those who give faithfully, not only on the Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, but during recreation service at 9 o'clock. And I feel a little strange with this many children this close. I ought to be standing right in front of them, because typically at 9 o'clock, they're right here. I mean, I can reach out and touch them, and they me, you know, and that leads to some interesting dynamics. But it's great to have you all in here. Hope you enjoy. And Caleb, you're in charge, buddy. You've got to kind of check what I preach here versus 9 o'clock, and then we'll talk afterwards. All right? You good for that? Okay. We are truly thankful for our children, and you hear it said all the time, they are the future of our church, and indeed they are, but they're also the present of our church, right? They really are. Last week, we talked about, in children's time, speaking of children, do you remember what the children's sermon was? It was about Beatitudes, right? Beatitudes, and I followed up with, if we want to be who God wants us to be, then we will take on certain attitudes. And we discussed the Beatitudes in that vein. It's not about what we do, it's about who we are in Christ. And that's indeed what our goal should be. And if you noticed last week, right at the end, like in verse 11 and following, a strange thing happened. We went from, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And that changed. That changed down there. Because it kind of became, at the next step was, blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you. There was a pattern there. Y'all picked up on it very nicely. Yeah, it becomes personal all of a sudden. It becomes very personal. And Jesus continues that vein in verse 11. And we'll pick up there. We'll be reading Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. Matthew 5, 13 through 20. Jesus kept teaching. He said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. We've seen that this morning. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Anyone who breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. He has become very personal. He says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's kind of a shocking turn, because at one point he was addressing that anonymous them or they. They said, you know, if we ever find out who they is, all right, but that addressing very, very anonymous them, but now he's saying you. You as the people who were hearing it for the first time, you as in us who are reading it at this time. And he said, you are the light of the world. You are salt. Notice what he didn't say. He did not say, you should be the salt of the earth. Or if you could only get your act together, then you would be light of the world. He didn't say that. No. He said, you are already, present tense, here, now. You are salt and light. Now, maybe you thought that you could kind of put this deal off until you had a free day in your schedule. That's not the way it works. You don't get years of practice time out of the sight of the rest of the humanity to kind of get yourself together, to get perfect so you could be perfect salt and light. That's not the deal. Our every act and every word already represents the God that we claim already. And being prone to imperfection myself, I suspect that more often than not, the God that I am representing is not very eloquently or graciously represented. I suspect that too often I am not particularly flavorful salt. I suspect that I'm not particularly steady or bright light. We're in this together, people. So hear the good news. Jesus reminds us that we live, we breathe, we act, we pray in relationship to a God of history, a God whose great delight is to participate with us. Emmanuel, God with us. God is participating with us in time, in our human condition, and within the particular situation that we find ourselves right now. Present tense, you are. And more good news. Not only is God with us, we've been commissioned into a community of faith that we can support one another in our vocation as disciples. And even more good news. We are in community so that we can remind each other as salt and light that we are a means to an end. We are not the end itself. We are used by God. God is with us and we're with each other too. We're with each other. We're in this together. And that's the beautiful thing he gave us. When Jesus left, he said, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that will make you one. The Holy Spirit that will remind you of the things that I've taught you. The Holy Spirit that will guide you as you are the hands and feet to complete the work that we began together. What an awesome promise. You know, our grandparents, great-grandparents, did not salt a piece of meat so that they could eat salt, did they? Why did they salt meat? To preserve it, correct. They did it to preserve it. To keep the meat from stinking and tasting horrible and make our bodies lurch with protest, right? They did all of that. The salt was there to preserve the meat, to keep it fresh. And people don't turn on a lamp so that they can admire the light fixture. Well, they may initially, okay? I'll grant you that. Oh, look at the pretty lampshade, you know. But generally speaking, the light is turned on so that they can see, that so that you can see what is revealed by that. So that you don't stumble or that you don't go down the wrong path. So the preserving quality and the illuminative qualities of salt and light are suggestive of the ways in which those qualities, when they spill out of our lives into all of creation, serve to fulfill Christ's calling to fulfill the law and the prophets, as he said so well. And that fulfillment and our serving as salt and light becomes the means to an even greater end, and that is the blossoming of the kingdom of God. Now, we don't choose to follow the way of God in order to draw attention to ourselves, or at least we should not. We are the icons, if you will, okay? We're there as representatives. We offer the light that we've been given. We offer the salt that we are in simple humility as the means to a splendid end that encompasses all of us. We don't have to worry, or we shouldn't worry. We shouldn't use the excuse that we're too old, or that we're too immature, or that we're too few in number. We should not offer those excuses because we will have an effect one way or another. I was traveling back to catch the senior guys ball game at 11 o'clock, and I was running late, and I was listening to K-Love, and they had a story on there, a lady that was giving a testimony. It was about 11:10. And she was offering a testimony of something that happened, and I had turned it on, turned it back up, and and missed the very first part of it, but I got the gist of it. And here's what the deal was. She was calling in to give her testimony, and what had happened is she had been in an active hostage situation. I didn't catch whether it was in a bank or where it was, but it was an armed hostage, very dangerous situation. And she said, we were scared to death. We were scared to death, these men with guns. And she said, we had every intention to believe they meant us harm. I said, in the middle of all that stress, a door opened. She didn't say whether it was an external door or an internal door to the building they were. But out of this door came a mother and her daughter who had just turned 3 years old. She said, that was the most angelic, beautiful child I've ever seen in my life. Little blonde ringlets hanging down. Had her little dress on, little bobby socks and everything. She said it was the most adorable child I had ever seen. And those men were stunned. The men with the armed, they turned around to look at this little girl, and the little girl smiled at them and waved. And she said the most bizarre thing happened. One of the men looked at the other and says, we can't do this. Let's get out of here. And they left. And she said, you know, in the moments after that, it was surreal. Nobody knew quite what to do. You know, the police were out, and you know, and we didn't know quite what to do. She said, but I went over and talked to the mother. Do you have goosebumps right now? I do, even telling it for the third time. You know, and she said, we went over to talk to the mother and just thank her. We don't know why, you know, what possessed you to come in. We don't know, but we're so thankful. And then she started talking to the little girl. The little girl had just turned 3 years old, and her name, get this, her name was Kaya. The literal translation of her name means giver of life. Ooh. Kids, you're never too young to be used by God in powerful ways that you cannot imagine. You're never too old to be used by God in ways that you can never imagine. We're never too few in number to be used by ways in God that, by God that we can never imagine. You see, it only takes a teaspoon of salt to flavor an entire meal. Unless, of course, you're my sister, then it's another story. You're never too young to be used by God. You're never too unflavorful to be used by God. It only takes a pen light to give you enough light to keep you from falling down the stairs and harming yourself. Just a little bit of light. Small acts of faithfulness are just as fruitful as dramatic acts of great courage because we live in daily obedience to the truth that's inherent in the law and the prophets. And as we work within that, as we work within God's will in our life, we build the justice, we build the equity, the mark that completes God's perfect peace, God's shalom. And we can never know, we'll probably never know this side of heaven, what the act will be. Those little things that might shed light into an incredibly dark situation or that might give healing into a situation that's so wounded. No faithful act entered into by God's love is ever meaningless. And this little truth gets lost sometimes in a world that we live in where everything has to be spectacular. It's always the big stuff that gets the splash, that gets the press coverage. But people, who needs press coverage? This passage calls us to be mindful of one very important truth, and that is, for a Christian, everything that we do has an impact. Who we are has an impact. Personal decisions sometimes have very public consequences. Christianity is a corporate engagement in faith, an engagement together, to work together as the hands and feet. And Jesus invites us to the hard and the humbling work of being neighbors out there, in here as well. over and over and over again. As you read the Gospels, Jesus used metaphors of relationships to depict this fundamental truth. He talked about the grain of mustard seed. Remember that? He talked about the little bit of leaven in the loaf. He talked about the sheep and the shepherd and their relationship. He talked about salt for the world and light to the nations. Relationships. Everything that we do proclaims something, speaks something, manifests something. And the only choice that we have is what we're going to proclaim, what we're going to speak, what we're going to manifest. And here comes the personal application part. Hang on. What then do we proclaim? Do we proclaim abundance and freedom, or do we proclaim imprisonment and oppression? Do we speak truth? And when I say truth, I'm talking about this, people. I'm not talking about the garbage the world sells us and tries to convince us that's true. I'm talking about God's truth. Do we speak God's truth, or do we speak a web of comfortable and acceptable and politically correct lies? Do we manifest health and holiness, or sickness and pollution? Our smallest act, our simplest word, serves as a witness or a hindrance to the one who creates, redeems, and sustains us. And we know ourselves to be a people of God and community. We've witnessed that. We've experienced that. But we are not only in community with those who follow Christ's way, but as we've already said, with the larger world, with the community out there in our schools, in our clubs, and in the grocery store, and wherever else, wherever people are hungry and thirst for truth, wherever people cry out to be released from their prisons, and that can be physical, that can be emotional, that can be spiritual prisons. He put us here to make a difference. Our words and our deeds are public revelations of the divine truth that lights our path, that heals our wounds, that salts and preserves and enhances our life together. Our words and our deeds convey a powerful message. And we have the power to choose whether those words and deeds are words of hope and abundance on behalf of others, or words and deeds that reinforce despair and fear. Jesus speaks words of hope. Jesus speaks words of abundance to you and to I through our calling to help fulfill the law and the prophets. He says, you are salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And my invitation to you, Jesus' invitation to you, is to speak that same word of hope and abundance to others. Let your light shine before men so that they will see the goodness of God's work, and that they will give glory and honor to Him. Not us, but to Him. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, as we read it in how Jesus taught it to us, it sounds pretty simple. Okay, we're just going to be obedient, and we're going to be salt and light. It sounds really simple, but Father, we get in the way of that. Our pride gets in the way, our arrogance gets in the way, hurt feelings get in the way. And before you know it, we've lost all focus in what it is that we are to be as your children. What we are to be as your church, your bride, hands and feet that are set here to do the work that Christ began. God, forgive us when we go astray, when we lose our focus. God, help us to experience the joy in knowing that we're walking in your will, that we're walking by your power, in your spirit, to accomplish the things that you would have us to do. God, help us to be who you've called us to be, and therefore do what you call us to do. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise and all the glory as we point people to you. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you do not have that kind of relationship, that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the invitation is for you this morning. I'll be here at the front, and I'll be glad to talk with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't want to come this morning, call me this week. I'll be glad to meet you and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, say, Raymond, I am a believer. But man, I confess, I've kind of gotten off track a little bit, and I need to kind of get back in what God has for me. Not only for what he has me to be, but also what he has me to do. And it certainly, you can, as we stand and sing, you can pray that prayer right where you are and talk with God and get that squared away. Get back on track. If you'd like for me, I'd be glad to talk with you and pray with you as well. And you may be here and you say, I'd like to be a member of College Park Baptist Church. Let me tell you, there are many ways we receive members. I'd be glad to talk with you about that. But whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. I want to invite you, following the benediction and the response, greet one another, encourage one another, offer up thanksgiving for one another. And as we go out from this place, be reminded that pray for one another during the course of the week. We all have challenges and places of responsibility, but part of that is working together, living together, serving together, and recognize what a true joy it is. Amen? It truly is. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we are thankful for the privilege of being your people. Father, for being a lighthouse here in our community. Father, we pray that we would take the responsibility seriously, but also with joy, that you've sent us out to be who you've created us to be, Father, and to represent you in a world that desperately needs to hear the truth that we have to offer. It's through Jesus' precious name that we proclaim and we ask all of these things. Amen.